Well, from life on Mars to life in the city of Port Townsend, we are joining Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow in his office high above the city city hall here in Port Townsend. Welcome to Bureaucracy Now on your community radio station. My name is Tim Quackenbush, and we have special guests. Hi, John.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm dandy. How are you?
I'm loving it. We've got the sun shining. I'm high up on the second floor looking out over the landscape and trying to keep things real here. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, you are very good at keeping things real, and I'm happy to be back on the airwaves with you. And you have a special guest with you.
I do. I'm really excited today. We have a new council member in our series of get to know your new council members. We have council member Ben Thomas with us today. And I have to say before I welcome officially Ben to join us here, he has been pulling out all the stops, I have to say. We've been rolling out facility tours and conversations and briefings, and everyone's voracious. We're really lucky to have seven city council members who are very, very highly engaged. Ben, I think, might be trying to set a new bar here. So he comes in with incredible energy, and welcome, Ben. Glad you're here with us.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here. And to what you're saying, it's a treat for me to be able to explore so much of our local infrastructure here. You did the wastewater treatment plant. I mean, tomorrow I got the library tour, meeting with the police chief, meeting with Steve King for the public works. I had a few things going tomorrow. Hoping to do a ride along too with the police as well, just to get a sense of their world. So anyway, it's really exciting. It's kind of like learning how things work. It's kind of I read to my 3-year-old a lot, Richard Scarry book, that's, you know, kind of how does everything work. And I feel like about a town, it kind of lays out how a town's put together. And it's basically what I'm doing right now, living that life.
Well, it's so nice to have you, Ben Thomas. It's been a while. I think you were in the heat of the campaign last time we spoke, and now you're hitting the ground, making little Lego Port Townsends with your child. So this is all good stuff.
I love that. Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
No, I was going to say the campaign fortunately never got above too much of a simmer with COVID and everything. So we were kind of, and it was very friendly. So anyway, yeah. So it's I'm kind of we're approaching all this brand new now. Go ahead, John.
No, Tim, I was going to say that I really appreciated, you know, in trying, you know, particularly three new council members coming on board, where I've actually been here for a couple of years first. Last time this happened with council members Rowe and Mick Hager, we were all joining at roughly the same time. And so I didn't know what kind of systems we had in place to welcome new city council members and to provide them the proper briefings. And I'm not pretending we have it right, but we certainly have upped our game a little bit. And so I'd like to thank the city staff, frankly, who have been putting some time to this, you know, showing how our operations and functions go, and you know, briefing on key areas of interest. And, you know, a real hat tip to the council members, the new ones, as well as the existing ones, for taking advantage of that. And also really to all the candidates. I was really impressed, and I think I said this previously, Tim, all of the candidates were meeting, even in oppositional positions in a particular race. And I just think that really speaks to me about how Port Townsend operates in some way, where, you know, you're running for the same seat with somebody, but you know, you're sitting down in a civil conversation, talking about issues, and actually building some sense of camaraderie. So real top marks for that for every single council candidate.
Yes, and it's been, well, if you look at this continuum over the past couple of years, I think it's fair to say this is a sea change in this city in many different areas of responsibility, including the city council. So new blood in a lot of different areas, and I'm so glad that we have you and the city staff to do the do the tours, do the things that most of us don't see, or at least are operating in the back of our mind, such as sewage treatment. Let's put that one out there. So we have the engagement from the people that are representing us, basically our legislative branch in this city.
Yeah. And I really like the idea of both unpacking how complicated city systems are, even in a smaller town like ours. And I'd love to be in a position at the other side of COVID where we could do a better job getting out to the public and actually inviting everybody in for the same kind of briefings where people can understand on the ground, brass tacks, what happens. I know our library team is probably going to pick up an initiative this year to do that, even if it's remote, and help tell that story. And I know it's something that really matters to Councilmember Thomas.
And Councilmember Thomas, in the time that you have been here, has there been a learning? What is it about this city that you know now that perhaps you didn't know a year ago?
Yeah, it's hard to unwind a little bit what I've already been packing into my brain here. But, you know, a lot of it is not before I didn't know, and I'm still learning how the city, the government itself, interacts with the non-governmental organizations in particular. There's a lot of energy and a lot of things get done outside the city government, but in some joint partnerships with the city government. So it's really fascinating to see that, you know, the housing solutions network is one of those that kind of sticks out to me as something like that, where you know, we're not directly controlled by the city government, but they're working with us. And you know, it's kind of a way to find solutions and build energy in the community. And of course the private sector is kind of this little map that I have in my mind about how they all interconnect and how you can actually build the energy. That's at least my goal, to help be part of that, building the energy towards stuff happening versus, you know, siloing all this energy separately. So that's an interesting thing. I didn't really realize how well that worked together before.
It's a difficult job. I have the utmost respect for our citizens that take on these roles. You know, when you step into this, I noticed just in a brief glance at the committees and that have been divvied out to the city council members, what does that look like for you?
Mine has a theme. I would say it's probably a little bit on purpose by what I was hoping for, and just maybe from David Faber, Mayor David Faber, had a little overview, like where it makes sense for people to fit. And mine is right now, it's basically transportation and culture are the two things that I'm focusing on. So there's, you know, it's five different committees, but they all kind of line up in those sectors. And that's great for me, because transportation is a big passion. And for me in this town, you know, as small as it is, you shouldn't have to have a car to get around here. And, you know, I mean, it involves cars as well, but this Jefferson Transit is such a key part of this, keeping this town going for people that don't have the same income level as some other people that can afford to have a car always running and going. And of course, bicycle lanes and trails are such a huge factor here too, that it's partly why I moved back to town, is that ability to get around without having to do a commute to work, you know, a driving commute. Not that I never do drive to work, but I can ride my bike, and I love to do that. So anyway, so transportation has been a big passion for me. So
transportation, one thing that comes to the forefront for me on that is the link from Port Townsend to the Kingston Fast Ferry beginning on February 22nd. I think that's huge, because that is a nice thing to have. That that immediate link to that Fast Ferry makes my life much easier on many different levels. Transportation speaks for itself. What is culture? What is the Culture Committee? What is that?
Well, so we have the Port Townsend Arts Commission, of course, that links in with the Culture and Society Committee. And I have yet to attend this Culture and Society meeting yet, because we haven't done one since I've been on yet. But I've been attending them for the last few, actually I've attended all of them during the campaign, because I wanted to know what was happening there, because I figured I probably will end up on this committee. I could just feel that in the air that I would be, because the culture is such a big part of it for me. You know, I maybe it's because I'm a winemaker, maybe because I was involved in journalism here locally, but that's kind of what I'm drawn to. And I think I can help serve that aspect of the community.
Tim, I was going to go back to something Councilmember Thomas said earlier too, about just seeing how all the pieces fit together. And I'm excited about this too, because, you know, with the council approval, we were recommending a slight change in how we do our committees so that it can be seen as a holism, you know, including sort of the natural environment, society, as well as the economy. And obviously those things are all interrelated, but they're kind of the three main pillars of sustainability. And so you have the three main committees of council members really being those convening areas to look at sometimes the same problem from a different perspective, sometimes different problems or opportunities. And then we've tried to take the advisory bodies and actually link them up to those committees so that we're all kind of pulling the same direction, but maybe unpacking the problem in different ways. And then to Councilmember Thomas's point too, there is a whole host of other responsibilities that people often don't know that your city council members are doing. They're sitting in for the Economic Development Commission. They're sitting in for you know, Jefferson Transit, and a whole host of, you know, dozens of boards and liaison roles. And to see it as a whole, so that all those parts can come in and actually advance what you know, I believe is our overarching vision for the community is really helpful, both to identify how the roles of each, so everybody kind of knows where to focus energy, but also to make sure we're going all the same direction.
Tim, can I answer your previous question one more time? Because you said, what did I learn the most? And just what John's saying makes me remember that one of the biggest eye openers to me is that usually you're interacting with the city council on the business meetings we have, those Monday night business meetings and workshop meetings. And when I was watching those, I would be a little disturbed by the amount of aye votes, like seven ayes, no dissension. And I think, well, for democracy, that doesn't seem that, you know, invigorating, you know. But I do realize more and more, you know, with the committees, so much of that work is pre-done, and obviously staff's been doing work on stuff. So by the time it gets to that business meeting, things have been pretty well hashed out. And there were disagreements earlier, and I think that sometimes that gets in. It's important for people to know if they really want to make an impact is getting involved whenever it's possible, when there's public comment for committees or the advisory boards are great tools, I think, for people to get involved in their passion project, you know?
You know, that's a very important point to make. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I've seen this on a number of different issues in port towns, and where people feel that they're being blindsided, or they feel, as was your impression earlier, that everyone is voting as a pack, and how important it is to pay attention to those early blueprints, those early concepts as they come up, so that when they do come to fruition, you've had a voice in that. And I'm sure that COVID makes that a little more difficult now than it was right in the past. How does that affect you at all?
Well, I didn't do this before COVID, so I don't have much to compare it to. But yeah, it is harder to get in the flow, I will say. That's it, kind of. I have been doing office hours downtown at City Hall in the old mayor's office. There's the old dusty mayor's office. It's not dusty, but people have been keeping it clean, but it's kind of has a proverbial dustiness from COVID, just because it hasn't been that fruitful for people to go all the way downtown and sit in an office where nobody can get in. But I have been doing that on Mondays, because I do think just getting the more tangible feel of the role is important. And then, you know, I want to establish these hours so people can come pester me and give me some good feedback, or, you know, bring good ideas to the table, hopefully. So that's kind of exciting for me. So once COVID, you know, the waves of COVID recede a little bit down the beach, which I'm hoping for, we can do more head-to-head and in-person stuff. And it'd be, obviously the meetings would be much more interesting in person, and much more ability to have some nuance and somewhat smaller disagreements that could be fleshed out and actually developed, rather than in Zoom, where you're afraid to talk over people, and, you know, it's a little bit more awkward.
Well, Tim, if I could say too, you know, that the idea here, I only had about 2 or 3 months before we went into the COVID situation, so I know a little bit about what it was before. And I guess one of the things that I know that, you know, Ben and I talk quite a lot about, and which I'm really excited to unpack for this community, I'm the kind of nerd who likes to get into city council meetings. It's part of my job. It's part of my way of, you know, helping to suggest and advance change. But I realize it's not for everybody. And I kind of feel like historically, I've described this before as like, you know, you're at a wedding or something, and, you know, someone says speak now, unless, you know, and that's like right before like people are married. It's like the decision's about to be made. And you're kind of like, really, is this the only time to have input on something where, frankly,
only in the movies.
Yeah, council members have already considered this. They've thought about it. They've iterated. They, you know, and so can we as a city provide increased opportunities with a runway of ways to get engaged that help inform those decisions instead of try to block them or support them? And I know it's something that Councilmember Thomas feels passionately about. It's part of why he wanted to run for council. But I'd love to explore that with Ben now about what we could be thinking about, particularly after these waves of COVID subside down the beach, like he says, right, and how we can reinvigorate a way of gathering where we're, you know, putting hundreds of people in one big room and actually working through our problems together.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea of everybody, you know, physically in the same room is actually would be really exciting to see, and especially in a design charrettes, you know, thing, which we've done in Port Townsend in the past, obviously easier to do when it's not a pandemic, but that's where you get people grouped together on coming up with solutions, workshopping ideas early in a process, you know, rather than at the end. And I think, or, you know, an awkward spot in the middle when one this part's already been decided and other parts haven't. But I also think there may be some bright side here to everybody getting a little bit more handy with Zoom and other online meetings, is that you probably could, accessibility wise, some people would have a difficult time getting into a space like that, or maybe they have their own autoimmune issues that previously were issues, you know, there was that for many people before. They could actually have some access to this too. So maybe there's a way to do a hybrid approach where we get more input because we have this technology, and then double down with in-person events too. So I would love to see more, instead of things getting diverted off to Facebook, which can be a certain, could have a culturing effect where, you know, ideas bounce off each other. Mostly they veer towards negative. Of course, we all are familiar with this. It'd be great to get some of that input in a digital way, put towards a positive, at least building ideas and maybe sharing what other people are already working on. I mean, I've been talking with John about this kind of stuff. How can we do that? And it's a passion of mine, and I'm really open to suggestions. So if I can throw my email address out there right now, is that all right?
Yes, absolutely.
B Thomas. This is how all the city councilor emails work. It's your first initial and the last name. So bthomas@cityofpt.us. I would love to hear some, because there's so many great backstories of so many folks that live here in town, especially people that moved from somewhere else and came here, and they don't, you know, you don't see them in their previous role. They have some great input or great experience they could share on community organizing things. So I'd love to hear more from people.
You'll be hearing from me.
All right.
I'll be at the top of that list. It is an interesting development here in Port Townsend, where we have our first millennial mayor, and as far as I know, I'm not a historian, but the first winemaker on city council. This isn't an accomplishment, and I know this will take a lot of your time. Being on the city council is a time intensive, but keep making that wine, Ben Thomas. Yeah.
Tim, can I make, actually, one of the ways that, you know, it's a small enough community, we can understand that a lot of people wear multiple hats, and it's very clear Ben does that. You know, just for the sake of people getting to know him, I suspect he's very well networked, far better than I. But maybe just a little bit of what's your day job, Ben? Let's connect that to, you know, to this conversation too.
Well, I grow grapes and I ferment them into wine. We also bring a lot of grapes in from Eastern Washington and some from Oregon. But yeah, it's basically the day-to-day. There's more spreadsheets than I'd like, but but there is a lot of tasting, doing little blending trials to see which barrels will work with which other barrels. And then we, of course, bottle it. We do everything ourselves there at the facility. So it's not an advertisement for where I work, but that's the day in, day out. It's so different every day, which is what I love. You know, I love synergizing, putting things together to different like types of work, you know, science and art, and putting it all together, which is kind of like a little bit why I'm also interested in the city council and how the city works together, you know, putting all those pieces together. I'm sure there's a wine analogy to make when you come up with some of these, like a new project we're going to work on, you know, is maybe something that's gotten tested and trialed out and tried by several people and rejected and, you know, reformulated and put back out there. I'm sure that we can play around with some analogies there.
I'm so tempted to take the bait here and just say, you know, how long do you ferment before it gets a little too old? You got to uncork it and drink it at some point.
Yes, there are plenty of analogies. The world's maybe second oldest profession. So the sniffing, the tasting, all of that going on. Yeah, we could go down that road quite a ways. I do want to speak to Mr. Morrow when he, who, and he's done this before, called himself a nerd, and I, in the best way. I really kind of appreciate that, because in that position, it's a good quality, character quality to have, I would think. Every time I see a hole being dug, I think, oh, I have to ask John about what's going on down there. You know. So yeah, a good blend of people here in Port Townsend, or whether it's John Morrow and our city council, which is, I think, changed quite a bit recently, and I'm very interested in seeing how that pans out in the future.
Mm. Yeah, I was just having a great conversation. Well, a couple of things that we just touched on in this conversation. I was up at Fort Warden earlier today with Mayor Faber to welcome the Washington State Parks Commission to town for their annual meeting here at Fort Warden, and to really say, like, you know, talk about a real gem of our community, much like our local economy and some of the local industry that, you know, Ben participates in a non-council form, you know, that is absolutely critical. And it was interesting to see how they've worked at hybrid meetings. We're prepared to do that. We did that for a couple of months in the summertime. But they had some commissioners coming in physically and some on the screen. And, you know, it was kind of a neat way of seeing how that could be possible, you know, to Councilmember Thomas's point, to accommodate those who normally would never participate. And so even post-COVID, there might be opportunities to learn from some of the things we've done.
Well, activities at the PDA have risen to the top of local consciousness lately. What's your impression being involved with it? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, gosh, I feel like there's so much about this town that I have yet to understand and know, and I can only hear stories of, because it's all kind of pre-COVID. And I guess just not feeling constrained by all of that. I mean, I'll be honest, I think I have been pretty publicly honest about how challenging it's been to operate a small city with the impacts of COVID on staff and resourcing and sales tax and all that stuff. It's really been a challenge, probably one of the biggest challenges of my entire career. But I think just, you know, what keeps me hopeful is what's on the other side and how we've both come together during a time of crisis, much like, you know, frankly, the new PDA board and state parks and the city did to get through some of that challenge, which is looking brighter. But I guess I also look to the other side of a whole host of things where this community comes alive and doesn't just recover, but really takes a leap forward into what we really want to be. That's what keeps me excited, because, you know, if you're a city council member like Ben, or a city manager like me, or anybody in our community who wants to get involved, we can all get our fingerprints on our future.
Yes, we can. And we're at the end of Brewocracy now. I'm so glad to speak to Ben Thomas, especially that culture committee aspect of your job. It's such a huge part of what attracted me to Port Townsend. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to be in a throng of people out on Water Street listening to music, doing the things that we, oh man, I don't know if we appreciated it as much as we should have when it was happening, but I can tell you I do appreciate it now, and I'm glad that somebody with your background is driving the car on the city council on that aspect. So
All right, well, thank you.
I just want to thank
KPTZ everybody. Has been, you know, the boat that's kind of carried us to the other end of this too. So big shout out to the station for keeping the community alive through radio. Thank you.
Oh yeah. Let me echo that. It's been fantastic getting to know KPTZ better.
Yeah, this is an experiment that worked, one of the many here in Port Townsend. And I want to thank both of you for being part of it today. And until next week, we'll sign off. And
sounds good. Thank you
so much. Thank you.
And you can all stay tuned for a brand new show that we have coming up with Ward Serrell. Many of you may know Ward Serrell from his various avocations, a man of many talents, and it is Word Song. So a series hosted by Ward Serrell live here on KPTZ coming up at the top of the hour. Just stay tuned. It's KPTZ in Port Townsend.